That's how I like my baby. Like I like my chicken. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Y'all come closer to me. So much distance between us.
Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, family. Today's show is brought to you by Boysh.net. Now, if you're looking for quality jewelry and accessories, look no further than Boysh.net. They have quasi-semi-precious stone necklaces and bracelets with crystals ranging from jade, onyx, lava stones, all types of accessories. They got sunglasses, hats, rhinestones, cell phone covers, the whole nine. All of that is available at boysh.net. That's B-O-I-S-H.net, ladies and gentlemen. And what we're going to do, family, we're going to take a real quick break. And I want you guys to call up. Let's chop up some game. The phone number is 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to take that real quick commercial break. Don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Master the game and join dating and life coach Mr. Locario live in New York City on Saturday, March 25th in Times Square for the Bad Boy Seminar. Mr. Locario has some exclusive realistic approaches to the dating game that will help you be successful with women. Purchase your tickets at MrLocario.com. Space is extremely limited, so pick up your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called ashkicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to ashkicking.com. That's ashkicking.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at MoorishKingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
What's going on, family? We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed, ready to chop up some good game with the family. How y'all doing this afternoon, this lovely evening? And again, like I said earlier, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number to call up. A lot of folks are calling right now. Let's see who's on the phone already. Let's just lighten up. What's up? Who's calling?
Is this Tariq?
This is Tariq. Who is this?
Hey, Eric from LA.
Eric from LA. What's on your mind, Eric from LA?
Hey, man. I have a question about this white genocide. Is that shit real?
Is it real? Well, it's not a genocide. It's like a natural decline because nobody's doing it. Nobody's carrying out the genocide. See, when it comes to genocide, that's a proactive act from one race upon another race. No other race is out killing white people. So when these white supremacists talk about white genocide, in their mind, just the existence of black people and other non-white people is categorized as genocide. That's why they feel like they have to subjugate and mistreat and dominate at all costs by any means. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Because, like, I see, like, the Steve King is going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Those other guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to talk about that in the show. That's what today's topic is about. We're talking about the natural decline concept. Now, what are you? Your brother, you sound kind of Caucasianoid. What are you?
No, I'm black.
Oh, okay. All right. You just sounded like a kind of white dude on the phone. Now, where'd you grow up, brother?
New York.
Oh, okay. Cool. But listening to the show, I'm going to talk about all this stuff today. All right. Anyway, y'all, man, we're here ready to chop up game. I hope you guys have your Hidden Colors DVDs, HiddenColorsFilm.com, and I hope you have your 1804 Haiti shirts, your T-shirts. That's available at 1804movie.com. Those things are selling off the racks, ladies and gentlemen. And we're working on a Haiti movie now. We're in the middle of production. We've been getting uniforms, outfits. We're doing the casting right now. All my martial art dudes, if you're in LA, I need some guys to do some stunts. And I got a lot of listeners out here, especially in LA. Y'all hit me up if you're in LA, you're a stunt dude, you got martial arts skills, especially that capoeira. If you're out here in the LA area, email me and let's chop it up because we're filming next weekend. My email is info@tariqelite.com. Now, if you're in another state, I can't really do anything. That's the thing. A lot of folks be hitting me up from all these other states saying, hey, man, I do this, I act, I want, all right, come on down. Well, I live in St. Louis, and that's not going to work. You know, you got to be in Los Angeles. So hit me up, man. I need some martial arts, stuntmen type cats to do some background feature stuff in the film because we're doing a lot of reenactment scenes. There's a lot of stuff we're doing. And again, email me at info@tariqelite.com. A lot of stuff happening, family. And again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. You know, when I was doing Ism Radio, I had my phone kept ringing over and over again the other day on Ism Radio. And shout out to the lovely young ladies of Ism Radio, Miss Layla Lopez and Sarah Nicole and Miss Lena. And I kept getting a call on air, as some of you guys heard. And there was a news station up in the Bay Area. They kept trying to get me to give up some information that I found out before them. I talked about on the show how people in the dominant society, when black folks are up on shit, when we're up on some game, some real information, if we're really onto something, or if we start to appear that we're onto something, those in the dominant society, they go on alert. They go on alert very quickly. And there was a police beating up there in the Bay last week. It was a race soldier beating this unarmed black man. He didn't kill him, but he beat the shit out of him with a flashlight. It was caught on video. And, you know, most media outlets, they work hand in hand with the race soldiers. Most of these media outlets, they are the propaganda arm of white supremacy. So they work with the race soldiers. They go out of their way to protect them. They make excuses for them. They normalize them. They help hide information about them. And this race soldier was beating this brother. And, you know, the white supremacists, they normally go on code. They hide the information of the officer. They don't tell you anything. They wait a while to release their name so that they can scrub the internet of anything incriminating about the race soldier. They go and seal documents before some liberal reporters go snooping around. You know what I'm saying? But when this race soldier beat this brother, I was one of the first people, well, you know, Melanoid Nation. And this is why, man, you got to give props to the Melanoid Nation Foundation, because this is what we do. We did an article. We were the first people, news organization, a media organization, on a grassroots level, or any media organization, we put the guy's name out there. We found out that race soldier's name. We put his name, we put all his shit out there. Way before the mainstream media got a hold of it. Not only did we put his name out there first, and his name was Spencer Bottomley. That was the race soldier's name. Up there in the Bay. Spencer Munez Bottomley. Let me put that in. So sound like he's Hispanic. Spencer Munez Bottomley. That's his name up there in Vallejo. So we put his name out there. Not only that, We were the very first people that put out that this guy had a lawsuit on him before, a civil rights violation for beating another black man last year. Same way, with a flashlight, and he was named with other officers with beating his brother. So we put the lawsuit out there, the paperwork. You know, I carry receipts. I always keep the receipts popping. And again, this was before the mainstream media. The mainstream media got a hold of all of the other information, really, I think, through the momentum of the internet. Since we put it out there and the story started getting momentum, they were forced to go ahead and jump on it and get some more information about the officer. What's interesting, though, that ties into these people calling me. These media outlets up in the Bay, they kept calling me, and they're calling me today. I'm not answering their phone because I told them I don't give up any sources and I don't know what the fuck you want from me. But they keep calling me trying to find out how did I get all that damn information. They've been on my ass calling nonstop. I'm like, what? Why do they keep calling me? They keep asking me the same questions and they got different people calling to ask the same questions. Do I know the family of the guy? Do I have somebody on the inside of the police force? I mean, they're asking me all types of shit. Because, see, we're not black folks. We're not supposed to get the scoop before other people. See, when we start getting the scoop and getting information without them, all that old begging, please, can y'all help you? Can y'all give us some justice? I'm done with that bullshit. We're way past that begging for justice. We're going to have to start taking matters in our own hands and start getting information on our own, putting these race soldiers out here on our own, investigating on our own. That's where we are. And they get on alert when we start thinking like that. When we start thinking like that, they're like, hey, what are you niggas up to? How are you niggas getting this information? Especially before us. See, the thing is, I got those documents before they can seal them. And I dug. You know, I was digging around. I know how to dig and search for stuff. That's what I do with these documentaries. I've mastered the game of researching. But even before the documentaries, I knew how to research and find shit. Somebody in the chat room said, how'd they get my number? Good fucking question. You know what? I was thinking the same shit. I'm going to be very real. Kiki. What's up, Kiki, in the chat room? She asked, how'd they get your number? I was thinking the same shit. You know, they found me. I mean, they called my phone. And I'm like, how in the fuck did they get my number? They straight called my cell phone. My shit is not listed. But, you know, people can find me, you know. They got enough skills to find me. But the thing is, when we start thinking like that, getting documents before they get all sealed up, they start going on alert, and that's good. And again, I ain't telling them shit. And that's part of the game of research and journalism. You don't give up your sources. See, they like to pick our brain. When we start doing things on our own, they want to sit down and talk so they can pick your brain. And when they start asking me stuff, I get like this on them. Getaway call, but I'm legally
blind, so how I'm gonna drive a car? So did you know what happened to the 73-year-old victim then? Or
I don't know what happened. I just know what the police said.
So you can't see at all?
Huh?
You can see though, right?
I'm legally blind. I can see barely. Barely.
That's how I am. I'm legally blind. I'm legally blind. I can see barely. I don't know nothing. That's how I am. I don't know jack. I'm legally damn blind. You dig? And that's how we gotta be. Stop giving up information. See, black folks, we think just because those in the dominant society start stepping to us, asking us a bunch of questions, we feel like we gotta answer all of them. Nah. No, you do not have to do that. You don't have to do that at all. Let me see who's on the phone. A lot of folks are calling. I don't want to get too distracted with the phone calls. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what's up? This is Mike from Palm Beach.
Mike from Palm Beach. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. How about yourself, Tariq?
I'm good, sir. How are you? What's on your mind?
Good. Just really quick, I wanted to ask you, what is the importance of going no contact after a breakup?
Oh, yeah, that's very important, because if it's a legitimate breakup, you want to go ahead and break that thing off cold turkey, because you'll start having relapses. There's a reason why y'all broke up. If somebody's breaking up, there is a legitimate reason why you're breaking up. So if you're breaking up and you want closure to that breakup, and if it's a legitimate breakup, which normally it is, you don't want to start seeing the person on a regular basis, because then you'll start getting back into those old habits, getting old feelings. You start thinking, well, let me just have sex one more time. Well, since I'm having sex, I can try to move back in with her. It's that type of stuff. So you start relapsing, and then what happens is you keep going through the same cycle. You start thinking about all the good times, and the minute you get back with the person, you realize why you broke up in the first place. So it's best to just leave each other alone, because what happens if y'all break up, and there's always a breakup has some type of negative energy. Somebody was done wrong, or there was some kind of miscommunication. Being around a person when you just broke up, there's too much negative energy there, and then that negative energy will morph into hatred and then vengeance. Somebody's going to try to get revenge on somebody. And then if they bring other people around, or you bring other people around, that's going to cause stress and drama. So it's just best to just chill and go your different ways when you break up, and then let yourselves heal. And then later on down the line, y'all can be friends that way. That's how that works. You feel me?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Yes, indeed. Did y'all see this thing with Donald Trump and Snoop Dogg? Trump and those people were talking real greasy about our brother Snoop Dogg. Snoop did this music video, and it was a parody type of thing where there was a clown, a person with clown makeup, and had like a Donald Trump wig. And in one scene, Snoop had a toy gun, pointed the toy gun at the clown character, and shot the gun, and it was like confetti and a flag with the word bang came out. So it was some parody funny type shit. And all of the Trump Nazis and Trump himself spoke out about this. They cried foul. They were talking greasy about Snoop. Let me find the actual Trump quote. Let me see what Trump said specifically. I want to be right and exact to say exactly what happened. Hold on one second. Let me say exactly what happened. Trump condemns Snoop on Twitter for satirical video. That's the New York Times. Also, Trump says, can you imagine what the outcry would be if Snoop Dogg, failing career and all, had aimed and fired the gun at President Obama? Jail time. That's what Donald Trump said about Snoop. And I saw that tweet, and I put out a tweet, and the tweet I put out, shit, the shit went viral. I didn't mean for it to go viral, but I put out a tweet. The tweet that I put out has gotten 40,000 retweets on Twitter. If y'all look at Twitter and look at the tweet I put out in response to that, I got 40,000 fucking tweets, which is very interesting. But the tweet I put out, I said, when Trump is upset with Snoop, but when these people had images of Obama in a noose, all of them were silent. So it's very interesting that they're crying foul. Now, remember when Obama, for eight years, these white supremacists would parade mannequins around and dummies and dolls of Obama with nooses around the neck. They would do this for 8 years straight, family. None of these white supremacists really spoke out against that. They were all along with that. They had Obama with a noose at these Tea Party rallies, at these Republican conventions. They had the Obama doll with the noose at these football games with thousands and thousands of white people not batting an eye. They were going right along with it. People hanging the shit at their homes of Obama with a noose around his neck. For Halloween, almost every Halloween, they really showed out with Obama with the noose around its neck. At white churches, they had images of Obama hanging from a damn noose. Google this. This is at white churches they were doing this for 8 years straight. Not only that, they were putting dummies and dolls on the back of cars, dragging them, dolls of Obama. I mean, they were giving legitimate death threats against Barack Obama. And there were celebrities talking about how he should be killed. And, oh, man, they had a field day with threatening and coming up with images of lynching Obama, talking about he should be lynched. He was a public figure saying this stuff for 8 damn years. And they all fell back on their First Amendment. Some of this stuff went way beyond First Amendment. But they all fell back on their First Amendment. Well, it's First Amendment, freedom of speech. I can walk around with a noose of Obama with looking like he's hanging. That's freedom of speech. Well, damn it, it's freedom of speech with Snoop. And see, when you point that out, then all of a sudden, they get into the fake white supremacy morality game. Then they start talking about, well, two wrongs don't make a right. Get the fuck out of here. The white supremacists are very good on that two wrongs don't make a right. They are cool with the first wrong, but the minute we start doing the same thing, all of a sudden, hey, come on, we both need to stop this. Two wrongs don't make a right, but damn it, two lefts makes a circle and it's coming right back to you. See, that's what we have to be, family. We're going to have to start treating people the exact same way they treat us. We got to get off this, they go low, we go high. Shout out to Michelle Obama. That was her thing. That was very dignified, but damn that. That don't work with the type of people we're out here dealing with. It don't work like that. We got to start treating people the exact same way they treat us. No better, no worse, just the exact same way, family. That's how we got to be. But they kill me with all that. Just because we do it don't mean you have to do it. Two wrongs really don't make a right. Because, see, the white supremacists, they know the shit that they do is wrong. They know it, and we know it, and they know we know it. But the thing is, it's not about right. It's not about justice. It's all about dominance. You know that Darren Wilson who killed Mike Brown? I mean, some stuff is coming out about him from what I understand. He's basically admitting that Mike Brown never tried to take his gun. We knew that. I mean, the white supremacists, they're very comfortable now. So now they can admit that they lied. You know, evidence is coming out evidence came out that Mike Brown didn't rob that liquor store. You know, I've said that for years. I knew that. He didn't rob the store, but that was a whole, the white supremacists got on code. They know how to get on code and come up with the same lie in order to protect each other. So the thing is, they know when they do shit wrong. They know that mistreating people and harming people is wrong. This is why I wish black folks get off this thing where we have to try to explain to them how wrong we're being treated. We got to get off that. They know they're shitting on you. They know. That's what they like. That's why I can't wait for y'all to see the Haitian Revolution documentary, because the Haitians were the ones who woke up to that. They were like, look, we need to stop showing them our pain so they can drink our tears. They quenched their thirst on our tears. This is what the Haitians were saying. These white racists, they quenched their thirst on our tears. Let's stop fucking crying. That was the mentality they took on. But these white supremacists are losing their mind right now. Shout out to Hawaii, by the way. You know, Trump had that other travel ban thing going on, and there was a federal judge in Hawaii that shut the travel ban down nationwide. Understand, federal judges can stop these bullshit ass laws and executive orders that Trump has, that he's throwing out. Federal judges can stop this stuff. So there was one judge in Hawaii, he stopped it, and another judge in Maryland, I think, he put a stop to it too. But the first judge in Hawaii, and Hawaii is a very liberal state, by the way, and a lot of the white supremacists were mad at Hawaii. They had a hashtag called Boycott Hawaii, and people were clowning all the Trump voters because, you know, most of them are broke fucking hillbillies, and, you know, they couldn't afford to go to Hawaii anyway, so they boycotting some shit they were never going to. But I'm glad Hawaii was the one that shut the shit down first, and this is why I like Hawaii. Hawaii, you know, even though we're all under the subjugation of white supremacy, what I like about Hawaii, and I've talked about this many times, this is why I'm always there. I've broadcast my shows there many times because Hawaii is the only state, quote unquote, it's technically a state. It's really another country, but it's technically a state, but it's really another country. You dig? You know, it's still another country. When you go there, you're going to a foreign country pretty much. You know, it's colonized, but it's still a foreign country because there's a lot of, you know, the ecosystem, just the culture there is very foreign to what's here. And that's what I like. But, you know, you still got the Starbucks and all that shit, but that doesn't, you know, technically it's a state. It's that type of shit. But what I like about Hawaii is that it's the only state, quote unquote, that where the white supremacists are the minority there. There are more other people in Hawaii than the white supremacists. And that's why the energy is better there. I mean, you still, again, we're under global subjugation of the white supremacists, but there you don't have as much direct contact with the white supremacists there. And the white people who are there, they're, many of them are more liberal-minded. They're cool for the most part. But I like Hawaii because, again, you don't have the race soldiers running the police unions. So Hawaii, for me, it's like that's the safest place in the so-called United States, even though it's still subjugated to systematic white supremacy. I have somebody in the chat room asked if I've been to Puerto Rico. I have not been to Puerto Rico yet. I do want to go. I do want to go, but this is why a lot of people go to Hawaii to create stuff. Like when I've written books in Hawaii, I would go out there, I would get a condo for a few months and write books because the energy was good out there. And I know Dr. Dre goes out there and he does a lot of recording out there in Hawaii and other people. But just being away from that direct white supremacist threat, it's a very freeing vibe. That's why I like the place so much. And the thing is, the people there, you know, the native Hawaiians, for the most part, they're not trying to cape for the white supremacists. They're not trying to become honorary white supremacists themselves. Well, that's another thing that I like about the locals there. They like to hold on to their own culture. You know, there's like a thing in Hawaii where you're not really, if you're a Hawaiian native, you're not really supposed to leave the island and move nowhere else. That's why you don't see too many Hawaiian natives on the mainland over here. You'll see some Samoans. And, you know, they come over for jobs and all that because they come over from, like, American Samoa. And I've been there. That's another beautiful place, too. But you very rarely see native Hawaiians over here. You rarely see that because part of their culture is to stay there with their family. And they're good with that. They value family. You dig? So the vibe is cool there. You dig? And, you know, you got a lot of Asians going on over there. And a lot of the Hawaiians, you know, they don't want to be taken over by the Asians either. And speaking of Asians, I talked about this on Ustream. A lot of these videos that we are seeing of Asian men attacking black females, we're seeing a lot of that lately. We're seeing a sharp increase of that. We've been seeing it over the years, but now it's getting real crazy. There was a case in New York where an Asian guy on a subway, it was supposed to be a pregnant black woman, and he kicked her in the stomach twice, from what I understand. And they're trying to be sympathetic to him in the media over there. And I think North Carolina, in a couple of places, one place, there was a place at a mall where an Asian man hemmed up a sister because he said she was shoplifting. And there was another place at a beauty supply where the Asian male had this sister in a headlock. He was beating her down on the ground, kicking her because he said she stole some eyelashes, which they could not find the eyelashes. And the thing is, you see these Asian groups are getting very bold now. Because they know that we are very fragmented, and they know that black society is weak right now. They know we're weak. By allowing that type of shit to happen, they know that we are weak. Understand this. Good or bad, right or wrong, no other group, if there was a black-owned store in any neighborhood, or let's say a white neighborhood, an Asian neighborhood, a Hispanic neighborhood, if a white, Asian, or Hispanic woman came in and took something and the black owner touched her for any reason, do you know the men in that community would burn that shit down that day? Let's just keep it real. They would burn that shit down that day. They would run them out of the neighborhood that night. Right here, this year, not back in the day, right now. If an African person or a black person owned a business and put their hands on a woman from that community, they would run you out within hours. You remember in Chicago, a couple of months ago, there was a funeral procession and there was a little road rage incident where some black people from the funeral got into an argument with some white people, and there was some undercover cops who came out, and one of the cops came out and shot one of the people in the funeral. And immediately the white neighborhood there organized, all the males came out, they were ready to protect their neighborhood just in case somebody wanted to retaliate. It took them seconds to get organized and on alert with those black folks passing through their neighborhoods. This was a couple of months ago. This wasn't years ago. This was a couple of months ago. They got on alert, ready to run the black people out of their neighborhoods for starting trouble. Now, black person got shot, but then they were like, just in case any of y'all other niggas want a problem, we're going to run you up out of here. We sit up here and let these other groups not only disrespect you, whoop your ass. You think getting a damn hair relaxer and some edge control gel is more important than your dignity? The fact that they're still open, like nothing happened on that hurry up and buy shit, that shows the weakness of black society. Now that one place, I think it's in North Carolina, you had the NAACP, and I think somebody said the Nation of Islam came up there. I saw a couple of people who looked like they might have been in the Nation of Islam, but I saw some other people who were, they weren't Nation of Islam because they weren't covered up. Some lady talk, and I should play the audio of it. But they were up in the store. Let me see if I could find the audio. Let me see if I could find the audio real quickly. Real quickly. Hold on. Store. You know. One second. I'm doing it live while I'm talking, and I'm typing with my left hand. So I'm trying to make it do what it do. Okay, let me see where the, and I want to look for the interview of the guy talking. Okay, here it is. Now, I hope it ain't a bait video where some stupid nigga talking. Hold on. Let me see what this is. Hold on.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to.
Okay, fuck. It's a bait video. I hate that with a fucking passion. When I'm looking for a video and it's some mush mouth nigga talking. Oh God, I hate that with a passion. What up, everybody? It's that type of shit. Okay, let me see. I'm trying to see where the interview is. I can't find this shit. It's too many bait videos. Asian store owner, black woman. Hold on one second. I'm looking for the interview with the NAACP. Let me try that. Let me try typing in NAACP. I hate fake bait troll videos where niggas. Okay, I think this is it right here. Okay, I hope this is it. Okay. Okay, finally, this is it. All right. So this is the NAACP talking to the Asian store owner who beat up the black woman, I think a day before. This is them talking.
Sorry, it's not hard to say.
It's but saying a proper sorry takes time to think through.
Okay, they said, sorry's not hard to say. And the Asian lady said, well, sorry, you know, we got to think it through. Fuck sorry, we got to think about it. beating your black ass, we got to think about sorry, because we're not really sorry, but we just got to think about what we're going to say to your dumb black asses to keep you coming back to buying this shit that you don't really need. You dig?
I'm sorry, let's not do it.
Okay, well, our request is 24 hours. But do you know that the longer that you wait, the longer your store will be financially challenged. That's why. So it's on you all. No matter, y'all can wait. You can wait a month. But do know that people will be out here demonstrating. Did you see the riots in Charlotte last year? And when you choked that sister, you don't know Eric Garner in New York City. Remember the man? He was selling some cigarettes and got choked to death? You remember him? So that you just resurrected something here in Charlotte. It reminds us of Eric Garner. She had eyelashes in her pocket, but how much do eyelashes cost?
They didn't find anything in her pocketbook. Let me just say this, sir.
Okay, hold on. Black, we got to stop negotiating. Yeah, I wish we stopped negotiating with these people. You're trying to reason with these people. Black folks, stop. Black people, stop trying to reason with your oppressors. Just don't go. Don't tell them you ain't going. Don't go. You just don't go. Don't reason with, no, you got 24 hours now. Come on now. Now you understand. You just like Eric Garner. I mean, stop. I wish y'all, we got to stop that. We're past that, family. We're past that. Up here negotiating. If that happened to a white person, a black person did that to a white person, do you think they'd be in there negotiating with you? Now let me play this sister here. Hold on.
Let me say this to you. You see other sisters standing here, see us? Black women are to be cherished. The whole point is we're not going to compare this to anyone else. You offended the entire community because you attacked the queens of our community. Period. You don't touch us. We are to be cherished. And as much as we spend in your store, that tells me that this didn't correlate for you. You came into this country to better your...
She up here talking about we should be cherished. She said, these are the queens of the community. We should be cherished. That's not, well, okay. That sounds like Tina Turner. Love me, Ike. What's love got to do with it? We always got this thing where we trying to get some love from somebody, man. We got to cut that bullshit out. She's talking about, we should be cherished. The fuck are you talking about? What kind of reasoning is that? Telling somebody they should cherish you, they done whoop your ass. Man, you ain't supposed to beat me. You're supposed to cherish me. That's Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do With It talk. That's just like that sister who was talking to Richard Spencer, talking about, would you marry a black woman? You don't like black women? Richard Spencer was looking like, what? His mind was like, he was like, I'm a fucking white supremacist. What are you talking about? We have some of the most inappropriate interactions with people. We talking about we queens. Let me tell y'all something, black folks. We got to get off the we were queens and kings shit. We got to get off that bullshit. That don't hold no weight nowhere. That's been a running joke since slavery. We got to get off that. Hey, I got to give it up to my kings and my queens. Stop that bullshit. That's Hotep nigga talk right there. And we get that from the slave owners. The slave owners used to tell us that. They used to give us names like king and queen. Hey, come on over here, Queenie. Make me some biscuits. That's Queenie right there. We took pride in that shit. That was a running joke to them. Go check out the movie Queen with Holly Berry, the slave movie. She's a queen being shitted on. That's where the name Leroy comes from. So many black folks had the name Leroy in slavery. That's why Leroy is synonymous with black. Leroy is a French word. Leroy in French means the king. And they would call their slaves Leroy. Hey, that's my slave, the king over there. Look at him. He's a slave, but he's the king. Ha, 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 ha. That was a joke. And we start taking it literally. I is a queen. I is a king. I am. I'm a king. No, you're subject to white supremacy now. You're not a king. We're not kings no more. We're not there no more. Let's just be very honest about that. Even in Hidden Colors, I think, three or four, one of them, Anthony Browder said, look, we need to get off that. Only a handful of us were kings and queens in Africa, to be honest. Only a handful of us were kings and queens in Africa. Most of the people there were educators in Africa, in ancient Africa. Most of the people were scientists. most of the people, you know, they did very thorough things. They were agriculturalists, a lot of things over there. So we got to get off that we was kings and queens. You know, we got to get off that, family. You dig? But let me play the rest of this. Hold on.
Your family, or we built this country on the backs of our people. And you said in 1 second that we didn't matter, that our lives had no worth. And you didn't respect our black women. That's all.
We were there. Yeah, we were accumulating, you know, what will satisfy this system, financially and otherwise. Tomorrow morning. So call us.
Okay.
You call us tonight if you want to, okay? You have a good day. Let's go, y'all. Let's go outside.
All right, so that's the end of that. So they let me put my Mac and music back on. So they're out here trying to negotiate again. Trying to negotiate with these racial terrorists, because that's all they are, racial terrorists, nothing more, nothing less. And talking that shit about how we should be cherished. Nobody has to cherish you. And sitting around telling a person who just whooped your ass or whooped somebody who looks like you ass that they should cherish you is weak. That's not how you approach a situation. You have to be reciprocal. When somebody does something to you, that vile, that disgusting, there has to be reciprocation. You got to treat people like they treat you. Don't even entertain them. I mean, nobody, they shouldn't even be open right now. Nobody, you shouldn't have to go announce to them that you're not going to buy from them no more. Can you apologize to me? No. That's not what you do. I don't want no apology. Now you gotta go. That's what it has to be about. You gotta go. You're not gonna beat up people in this neighborhood. Black folks got this thing where we want to be accepted by so many other people. Other races, acceptance from them is so important. We will just drop all dignity that we have to be accepted. And they going for soft targets. They know to target the black females because they know the community is in shambles. They know that there are no real male figures there that's going to protect you like they should because you didn't want none. See, the thing is, I want y'all to go get my book, Player Be Played. In my book, Player Be Played, that I wrote in 2003. I think I probably wrote it in 2002. It came out in 2003. So, no, I think I wrote that book in 2002. And I talked about in that book how sisters were getting set up with them talking about how independent they were. I talked about that in that book. I broke it down. Well, sisters, you got to be careful with all of these white TV shows like Ricky Lake. And at the time, you know, it was Ricky Lake and Jenny Jones and all these shows. But they would always have sisters on there talking about how independent they are. And that was kind of a joke with the white supremacists. And I saw it for the joke it was back then. They were propping you up to knock you down. See, and we have a very bad habit of allowing the white supremacists to prop us up and set us up for a downfall. That back then in the early 2000s, that's when they would have the I Don't Know My Baby Daddy shows. That's when all of that stuff really started. All that I'm strong, independent. They would have that. They would parade that on TV every day. Some hood rat chick out there talking about how strong and independent she was. And whenever the white supremacists promote something too much, it's a trick bag. So they'll prop you up having you talk about how strong and independent you are and how you don't need a man and put out all those movies like Waiting to Exhale. And it's all about girl power, sister girl power. You don't need no man. And if you get a man, get you a little white man on the side or whatever. When I said that's the setup, and that the setup is going to create a big downfall, and we're seeing the downfall of that now. We're seeing the backlash of that setup. They set you up to be by yourself, thinking that white daddy's going to protect you, and that never works. So white daddy's abandoning you, and now you're out here by yourself, and these people are starting to whoop ass. And all of the men that you said you didn't need, now you're looking like, hey, can you protect us now? You see, we got to stop letting these white supremacists put us in a trick bag and making all of us vulnerable. And brothers, too, they done the same thing. They said, hey, brothers, look at this exotic Hispanic lady. Look at this exotic white chick. You need to be with her. And the thing is, these women, these exotic women, you'll be like that movie Get Out. You know, these exotic women still uphold white supremacy. You know, look at what's going on with Cosby and all these other people. These white women start claiming, well, he touched me inappropriately in my coochie 30 years ago. So they know how to get back on the white supremacist code. So we've been falling for the okie doke. And we got to cut that bullshit out. Especially now, because see, the white supremacists, they are on high alert racially because they're going through a natural decrease. And that's what I talked with the caller earlier about. Representative from Iowa, Steve King, he's a white supremacist, and basically he's an open white supremacist at this point. And Steve King from Iowa, and for months, I've talked about him before, he's been talking all of this white supremacist rhetoric. He's been talking it for a minute. The mainstream media, they've been trying to downplay his white supremacist rhetoric. And recently he came out saying, well, as far as immigration, we can't build up Western society with other people's babies. And people were like, oh, wait a minute, time out. You're getting off code. See, he's getting off the code and just saying what the real deal is. Because understand, Western culture is white. See, that's a code word for white. Dr. Welsing said that in her book, The ISIS Papers. She broke that down 40-something years ago. Even before the ISIS papers, she was talking about this stuff. But whenever the white supremacists start talking about Western culture means white. That's all it is. The Western means white. Whenever you hear that term, that means white. Understand the codes they use. And on last week's podcast, I talked about this book, The Camp of the Saints, that these white supremacists keep pointing out and promoting. Like Trump's right-hand man, Bannon, he's been talking about this book. These white supremacists keep talking about the book. After I did that broadcast, this guy, Steve King, he started talking about the book. He did an interview where he's promoting the damn book. So these white supremacists are getting on code. And for those who don't know, like I said last week, Camp of the Saints, that's a book about black genocide, basically. They got a bunch of books about black genocide that they're talking about. They're trying to hide under the guise of immigration, but immigration ultimately is all about black genocide. That's what it goes down to. That the immigration is just a Trojan horse. So this Steve King guy, and this is a representative in Iowa, and understand Iowa has a 3% black population, but 23% of the black population, or the prisoners there are black. The prison population in Iowa is 23% black, and there's only 3% black people in the damn prisons. Oh, in the damn state. So this guy, Steve, and the media tried to make excuses for him. They were saying, well, he might have meant something else. We're going to get some clarity on what he's saying. And he's done interviews after he's made these comments and said, hey, I meant what I said. I meant exactly what I said. Western culture, we got to start increasing and getting babies. So these white supremacists, they're on alert right now because of the natural decrease. And I want y'all to look that term up. They first start announcing natural decrease for the white supremacist population in 2013. That's when we started seeing a lot of stories about the natural decrease. They started putting out stories saying the white population for the first time is dying before they're reproducing. They're dying before they are reproducing. That started in 2013 when they started putting out a lot of articles. And ironically, not ironically, but coincidentally, 2013, that's when we started to see a major increase in random black people getting killed by these race soldiers. Right when they started to announce the natural decrease with the white population, we started to see all of these black folks getting slaughtered by the race soldiers. And the thing is, now studies are coming out saying, and I put some of the charts on the screen here, in about 17 states, the natural decrease is firmly in place, meaning that the white supremacist population is dying faster than they are being born. And many of these states are these white supremacist enclave states. Wherever you see the most injustice, that's where you're seeing this natural decrease with the white supremacist. And the thing about the natural decrease, when there's a natural decline like this, it virtually cannot be reversed. You really can't reverse it. See, the thing is, Dr. Welsing talked about how white supremacy is all about fear of genetic annihilation. And one thing about the white supremacists, in order to stop genetic annihilation, their mind, they were like, well, we got to stop interacting and interbreeding with the non-whites so that we can keep our numbers up. This is what segregation is about. The white supremacists create these segregational enclaves where they can live away from black society. But the thing is, it's not segregation or integration. That's the problem. The problem is not integration. Black people still don't live among white people like that. Black people are still funneled into segregated neighborhoods, segregated schools, segregated entertainment entities. We're still segregated. So it's not really about sexual genetic annihilation, because that's the biggest fear. Black men having sex with too many white women and blacking up the population. That's not what the real problem is no more. The problem now with the white supremacists is that they're just dying in these segregated enclaves. They're already segregated. Ain't no black people around, so you can't really blame black folks. Like, for example, in right outside of Philadelphia, I talked about this before, there was a place outside of a suburb outside of Philadelphia, and I played the clip of the news clip. Outside of Philadelphia, in a white suburb, there's some kind of airborne disease or virus that was floating around, this mystery virus that was killing white people in the suburbs. And the story was, this mystery virus, they still don't really know what it is. It was some rare shit that they're still trying to figure out. It was skipping over the black population. Black folks weren't affected by it at all, but it was attacking white supremacists in these suburbs out there. And I'm saying that they're white supremacists for the simple fact that they created an all-white enclave. In order to create an all-white suburb, you got to be a white supremacist. It's that simple. So the white supremacists, they think by focusing on us and trying to smack us up or smack us around, you know, that'll kind of make them feel better while they're on the decline. But the problem is Mother Nature. Mother Nature is saying enough with the white supremacists. The white supremacists are getting attacked by nature. It ain't us. They talking all this immigration shit. It's the universe correcting itself, because you shouldn't have white supremacy. Even non-racist white people don't like white supremacy. They're out here fighting in the streets. Shout out to them. Shout out to the non-racist white people. And notice, many of these people, they ain't dying off, the non-racist white people, but in those segregated places, in these states with high levels of segregation, that's where we're seeing the natural decrease. It's specifically targeting these white supremacists and the white supremacist suspects. That the Earth is a very intelligent entity, man. The planet knows how to correct itself. The planet knows when there's a cancer on Earth, and that cancer should be corrected. And the cancer is not white people, but the white supremacists. That's the cancer globally, because there's white people who are not in control. The white supremacists are the ones that's in control. You can't get in control unless you're a white supremacist. That's how they got it set up. This is why they got Trump in control of the United States now, and all the people around him are damn near open white supremacists, and they are the problem. The ancestors are pushing through. The ancestors are making themselves known. And understand, like I said about natural decrease, when a population has a natural decrease, it can't be reversed. You can't reverse that. And these white supremacists dying off, because the white supremacists, they're already a global minority, but you can't reverse natural decrease. And what everything I'm saying, this is science. These are white people talking. This is not me. I'm not giving you my opinion on anything. What I'm telling you is what white scientists are saying. What I'm telling you is what white politicians are saying. Steve King, Steve Bannon. I'm telling you what the Trump administration is saying. They're saying this, what I'm saying. I'm just making it clear about what they really, really mean. Even they are complaining about the white supremacist numbers dropping off and what we need to do in Camp of the Damned Saints. They're trying to promote these racist books as if that's going to save them somehow. We got to understand, you can't reverse natural decrease. So the only thing that the white supremacists can do is allow other groups who were previously categorized as non-white to be turned into white. They can just reclassify other groups. And who are the groups that's next in line to be classified as white? The Hispanics, which they already do, and the Asians, who are next. See, they're very touchy-feely about the Asians, but they're easing them into it. They're easing the Asians into whiteness. This is why you're seeing these Hispanics like Munoz, the guy up there in the Bay Area, all of these race soldiers who have been attacking black people out here have Hispanic names. Zimmerman, all of these people. They're earning their white card because the white supremacists are dying off. The Peter Liangs, these Asian storekeepers beating up these sisters. They're converting other groups into whiteness now. That's the only thing they can do. And that's not going to work too long. So we just got to understand what the game is, family. And again, we have to start treating people the same way they treat us. We got to stop all this negotiating, all this begging and crying and trying to get people to see our point of view and telling them that we as kings and we as queens and we should be cherished. No, that's what abused wives say to people. We're long past that. There has to be reciprocal action. And the key word is action. I ain't talking about all that crying and begging and marching in front of somebody's store. That shit is over. The whole boycott thing is over. Boycotting don't work no more, family. I really wish we get off the boycott shit. We're going to hold some signs in front of your store. We're going to boycott. Stop. Boycotting don't work no more, family. I hate to break it to you. Every time somebody does something, man, we're going to boycott. First of all, you ain't going to do shit. You're not going to boycott anything. In a boycott, you're just going to stay home. They don't need you. They don't need you like that. We got to get off that bullshit and get realistic about what we need to do. And we really got to get on a code. We got to get on code. And that code should be all about melanoid empowerment, family. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Don't forget, family, go to 1804movie.com. to get your t-shirts for the Haitian documentary. Very nice shirts. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Ladies and gentlemen, follow me on Facebook at Tariq Elite. And I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday on Ustream. Remember, Ustream, 7 o'clock Sunday. Every Sunday we do the Ustream.